pitch. Ground ball out to the second baseman. It's grabbed by Lau. He'll sling it to first in time to finish off the ball game, finish off 2020, and a postseason where the Blue Jays win it as the number 8 seed and the number 1 seed played like it. And they shut down the Toronto Blue Jays offensively the last two nights, and they post a runaway 8-2 win over the Toronto Blue Jays here today.
You know, like the rest of you, I mean, I wasn't ready for the Blue Jays season to be over. I really wasn't. But I think I found a way, Kevin Barker, to sort of handle what happened in this series. I prefer to look at what we saw in 2020. Because I know people are going to be rushing around and making conclusions about all sorts of things. And we want you to do that, by the way, because the phone lines are open at 416-870-0590, *591-888-660-590. Folks, I do want your hurried, unthought of, off-the-cuff emotional opinions. We've got plenty of time for a rational reaction at some point. But I'll look at this season, Kevin, and I thought about this last night. This, to me, I've just watched 62 games of baseball that, in a season that I didn't think would get finished, let alone started. I guess started, let alone finished, would be the way to put it. So 62 games. And I understand there's a finality attached to being eliminated in a playoff series. I get that. There's no baseball today. There was baseball yesterday. Boom, your season's done. But I caution people as we pick through the embers of this year to keep in mind that in baseball terms, we're basically in the second week of June right now. Your ace has had 12 starts, 13 starts. How many at-bats has Vladdy had? Vladdy played every game, all 62 games. He's got 250 at-bats or something. I don't know, whatever it is. I'm just pulling a number out of thin air. The point is, as much as it feels as if we've seen a full season played through to its finality, we didn't. So, Kevin, I think we have to keep that in mind when we start talking about who goes, who stays, who advanced, who got better, who got worse. We're in June, to my way of thinking.
I think you can look at it a couple of different ways. What do you know about this team? What do you can hang your hat on for next year with this team? You like Bo? You like the adjustments Teoscar's made? Is he a right fielder? What else do you know? Are you confident in Nate Pearson as a starter?
I know that Kevin Biggio can play second base for me every day.
Maybe not third every day. Maybe they need to back off a little bit on playing him all these different positions and let him get real, real good at one of them. Let me try that on for size.
Yep.
So you like those three things.
Mm-hmm.
Danny Jansen, you're not sure of. Nate Pearson, you don't really know if he's a starter or not. Who's your closer? Lourdes Gurriel Jr., would you trade him?
No.
Or do you keep him?
He's making so little. He's making under $5 million. $5 million for a dude who could maybe hit 30 home runs? A guy who hit 300? If anybody thinks of trading Lourdes Gurriel Jr. this year, go watch hockey. I mean, seriously. Why would you even entertain that? And this is from a guy who would have entertained it last year.
If Cleveland called and said, what do you give me for Lindor?
I'm not for 1 year of Lindor.
Well, you're getting a year so you can make a run at him to sign him here. That's why you do that. So, you think big picture. Now, I have no idea what they want to spend or even if they like Lindor.
And that's the other – that's a good point. Well, no, we know they like Lindor.
I know they used to work together.
But I do believe that we need to we also need to keep in mind that there will be a financial hit because of the pandemic, not just for the Blue Jays, but for a lot of teams.
Yeah, will there be fans in the stands next year? That'll be another question.
There better be. If there are fans in the stands for the World Series, there will be fans in the stands.
Are there less questions today?
Yes.
Than there was July 27th?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Absolutely is a big word.
No. Vladdy stayed healthy. again, 63 games. Let me finish. Vladdy stayed
more
healthy.
About performance, I believe.
Okay. Well, first thing, you know what? First thing you got to do.
Same baby steps.
First thing you got to do is get in the field every day. Get in the field every day.
Well, you can't because perform unless you're on the field, I guess.
If I had told you at the start of the year, Vladdy's going to play every day, you would have laughed me off.
Not for 60
You would have laughed me off.
I said he better play 60
You would have said the weight would get to him. They'd have to sit him down. Vladdy played every day. Nobody else in this team did. That, to me, is a step forward. Teoscar Hernandez, Lourdes Gurriel Jr., I'm fine with them. They can come back. They can be my starting outfield. I need a better center fielder, and I'm not certain Randall Grichuk gives me enough offensively that...
See, I disagree with that.
I would lean towards keeping him. If somebody's going to give me something for Randall Grichuk in a package or something like that, then I would move him. But I'm keeping the other two guys. Bo's fine. Cavan's fine. I look at it this way. You need to, and this is a lengthy list because I'm not even touching the pitching. This team needs to get an everyday third baseman. I don't think they can, as some people were talking about last night, Kevin, I don't think they can entertain the idea of moving Vladdy back to third.
Why would you do that?
Trying to keep
him on the field, aren't you?
Bingo. So they need a third baseman. They need an everyday third baseman. They need a guy that allows Danny Jansen to catch two or three times a week. And I'm not saying get rid of Danny Jansen, not at all. He's part of the plan next year, but I have to have somebody else do the bulk of the catching. And in center field, I need better defense behind the plate. I need better defense in center field. I need an established third baseman.
That's a lot.
But think about at the start of the year. At the start of the year, we weren't happy with any of the outfielders. Start of the year, we weren't happy with any of the
outfielders. Offensively, I think we were. Defensively, we were, you know,
I'm okay with both of those guys. As long as you have a good defensive center fielder, you know, it covers up a lot of the flaws. So that's a position player. I think it's largely a step forward. Pitching, I said at the start of the year, and Barker, I think you were all in this. Nate Pearson is going to tell me when this team is ready to take a run
at a playoff spot.
No, because if you think Nate Pearson is going to be a starter, and this organization still thinks he's going to be a starter, and I want to talk to you about Nate Pearson later because we saw him hit 100 and 101 last night. But if this organization thinks Nate Pearson is going to be a starter, he's not going to be up here if we have a regular season. There's no way in hell he breaks camp with this team. He's going to be in the minors at least till halfway through the year.
Yeah, mechanically, he's got some things to change. Me, I think he needs a windup. Secondly, he has head jerk. That's a big deal. Can you fix that? He simplified it a little bit coming out of the bullpen. We've seen that. If you can go down and away with 99, that's a pretty good pitch. You can expand a little bit with another secondary pitch. That's not bad either. Listen, if he can throw strike one, right, he'll need a third pitch as a starter. You know, can the changeup be good enough? 92-mile-an-hour changeups, that's pretty tough. You know, that's only about 7 miles an hour difference. You're doing me a favor throwing me a 92-mile-an-hour changeup. So that's a work in progress. How long would it take him to have three good pitches to be a big league starter? I'm not sure. You would think if he can command a little bit with the fastball, as hard as it is, that's one. Are the two other ones good enough to be – you know, can he make 25 starts in a big league on a big league team? Not sure about that. Those are big questions. You know, and again, if they win 70 games next year, you're going to see some coaching turnover. For me, they cannot win 70 games and expect it not to be different than the year after. With where the Red Sox are at, with the health of the Yankees, with Tampa Bay, you know, Tampa Bay's probably that one consistent team, lunch pail, the pitching's young. You know, they figure it out every year. That's the one team you're going to have to beat. But everybody else, listen.
What is the biggest difference? And Frank and Stony Creek, we'll get to you in a few minutes here. What is the biggest difference right now between the Jays and the Rays? Never mind the Yankees.
Consistency. They do what they are supposed to do most of the time. The Blue Jays do not. We saw plays that should have been made that aren't.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Teoscar ball in the second inning, that ball should have been caught. That double, that's for me, you know, the snaky routes, those are balls that should have been caught. The Rays catch those. They make you earn your win. That's what they do better than most teams do. They're not always the best team. Offensively, they're not a great team.
No, they aren't.
They have great pitching. They have great pitching, which keeps them in games and allows that, you know, okay offense to figure something out. They get a guy on base. They run around all over the place because they know, you know, defenses aren't good enough. Pitchers aren't good enough to hold them on. You get thinking about the guy on first instead of worrying about the hitter, and then you hang a cutter. It's little things like that. And, you know, can the Blue Jays get there?
What did you make of Hyunjin Ryu? How do you put into context what we have seen from him this season and last night? But let's start with the season in general, Kevin.
I think going into a playoff series, you need a true number one. I'm not sure that he can muscle his way through. And when he doesn't have something, whether it's velocity, you know, he needs that 3 extra miles an hour to make everything else good.
Yeah.
You know, but where he throws it, the up and in cutters, the fastballs in off the plate to set up the changeup down and away and the slow breaking ball. If he doesn't have the velo, now what? You need that guy that, you know, cannot have something and work it out. Can he really work it out? Like, it's when you're facing good teams and they grind on you. You know, the Rays grinded on him.
Mm-hmm.
I know plays weren't made, and Bo makes that play. It's 3-0 instead of 7-0. That's a big difference. You got a chance 3-0. 7-0 against that team, you got no chance.
Mm-hmm.
I understand. But it's that, you know, when you see him out there and he's throwing 87 miles an hour on the four-seamer, you didn't look at the TV and go, don't worry about it. He'll figure it out. You didn't say that, did you, Jeff? I know I didn't.
No, I didn't.
So that's... They need that guy. I'm saying regular season, he can work through things because all the teams you're facing aren't great teams. But when you're facing good teams and you get September, you're facing good teams and have to win, you know, I'm not saying he hasn't been really good this year because he has been. But it's that's what I saw. Is he hurt? Who knows? You know, it didn't really look like he's hurt to me. Is he banged up? Maybe. Did he use a lot to get through the Yankee start? Sure he did.
Well, that was my next question because we've been fishing around for a reason for why he didn't start game one. You know, the extra day thing is factored in. It's been part of his career all year long. And because nobody's around the team really.
Yeah.
I don't think, and it's not incumbent on Charlie to tell us the whole story, but I think there are a lot of people out there who have taken the approach, I hope he's hurt. Because if that's what you're going to get out of a guy, an extra day's rest, and he's healthy, you know that's the way fans think.
Yeah,
and I have to admit, that I'm watching last night, and that first pitch, and Tabby said the point, the first two pitches, I'm going, there's nothing there.
Yeah, it's a combination of a couple of things. I think he's banged up, and the extra day, he thinks mentally he's a better pitcher that way.
Could the Yankees game have taken a lot out of him?
Yeah, I think so. You know, again, first inning, we saw him empty the tank. Empty the tank's not how hard you're throwing, maxing it out. No, he used all four pitches. When's the last time you ever seen him do that? I've never seen it. I watch every single pitch he throws.
Mm.
I've never seen him throw all four pitches in the first inning. But it's that the meaning of that game and where they wanted to go, and they needed that game the most from their number one guy, and he emptied the tank. It is just that start, watching him yesterday, the two collide together, adds up to banged up, doesn't have your best stuff. You live to fight another day. Now, obviously, the team they were facing is much better than the Blue Jays. Let's say it like it is.
Mm-hmm.
They're not even close to being the same kind of team.
No.
No, it's not. It's not even close. So that's
the scary thing about the Rays is they're going to be better next year.
We were nice saying that it would go to 3 games.
Yeah.
We were.
Yeah. 416-870-0590. 1-888-666-0590, *590-590-590 is a text line. Frank in Stony Creek, go ahead. You're on Baseball Central with Jeff Blair and Kevin Barker.
What's up, Frank?
Frank.
Hey, how's it going, guys? Another season in the books.
Yeah. Oh, I want to remind you listeners, by the way, that Baseball Central will be on the air all through the World Series. So you'll be able to hear Mr. Barker's breakdowns for another month. So we're not going away anytime soon. Go ahead, Frank. Sorry.
That's great news, guys. Look forward to the next month then still.
Good.
You know, it sucks ending a season going 2-barbecue in the first round of the playoffs, but really at the end of the day, I mean, personally, they exceeded my expectations. You know, I didn't even have them making the playoffs this year, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
I went into this year thinking, you know, this is a great year to figure out who are these guys, who are these kids, and we learned a lot this year. For one, they're not near the Yankees and Rays, and I think the shortened season – it hurt them a bit. I really would have liked to have seen them in a full 162 this year before going after 2021.
Me too.
But we, you know, it is what it is. And I think going into next year, Pearson, you start him in AAA, whether it's for the month, few weeks, just to get him stretched out, figure out what he's got. And I think he'll be up soon enough. The outfield, we definitely need a center fielder. So what that means is, yes, one of those outfielders are going to go. Who is it? Is it going to be Grichuk? I mean, I love Gurriel. I think he's still got another level to him. Mm-hmm. I agree with you, Jeff, that third base and catcher is another position. And, you know, J2 Realmuto gets entertained. You know, why not bring him on in here? And you got Jansen as your number two. I mean, the only thing I'll say about he can hit.
The only thing I'll say about Realmuto is, and I know Jays fans are going to be tired of hearing this, but that is an area of organizational strength. I don't think you need to commit 7 years to a catcher, which is what JT Realmuto is going to want.
Well, a 30-year-old catcher, too.
Yeah.
$150 million to a 30-year-old catcher is a lot.
You're bringing JT Realmuto in probably to catch for you for 3 years and DH the back end of his career. And you know what? We got enough guys in this team whose best position is DH. Like, I understand, I would rather, and I said this last night, and Frank, thanks for the call, I'd rather go after a guy like James McCann of the White Sox or something like that. I want to get me a guy who's an offensive upgrade, and again, I'm not going to throw Danny overboard. I'm just not. They've spent a lot of time developing him. I want to see him have another year behind.
Without Ryu. That's what I want to see.
Yes, yes,
not
exactly.
Having to worry about the wristband.
Exactly.
That would be he could take a
exactly
and go out there and worry about some hitting some baseballs hard.
Perfect.
Try that.
Rob from Aurora, go ahead, please.
Hey, Rob.
Hey, Jeff. Kevin, I've always enjoyed your coverage, and the show's been really good this year. And
Thank you.
What a treat to get some young, exciting baseball for a couple months while we're all stuck at home.
Yeah, hey, nice. That's the way I looked at it, man. Yeah. That's exactly the way
I looked at it.
Listen, guys, I'm just wondering if, you know, knowing Toronto's unique circumstances in the league and the fact that they've got a very healthy budget situation going into next year with maybe around $80 million that looks like it's committed. Mm-hmm. And I'm assuming that they might have to cut loose a couple guys that they'll owe some money to. And I'm not sure if Work is going to contribute, compete for a job. I'm not sure what they do with. I think Fisher might be out of options.
But oh, God, I hope so.
Yeah, there's a couple guys they might have to take a little bit of a financial hit on. But even with that, I mean, $80 million in payroll, even with that, is about 100 short of what they could spend. Do you guys see them building around this core with free agents and or trades? What do you see happening with this franchise?
You know, the first thing we're going to need to see is, and bear with me, because this is going to drive Jays fans nuts. But and it's not just the Jays that are going to take this approach. Tell you that there are teams like the Braves, and we've talked to Alex about it. The first thing teams are going to want to find out is, what are the financial expectations for next year? Are you going to be able to have fans in the stands? Are you going to be able to start spring training on time? I think baseball announced yesterday there's going to be 11,000 people per game in the stands for the World Series. We're going to have fans in the stands in Major League Baseball next year. Whether or not it's in Toronto, I don't know. It's a completely different idea. But there will be fans in the stands next year. We don't know how many, though. So teams need to get a handle on where their finances are going to be next year, and then you're going to start to butt up against negotiations on a new collective bargaining agreement. And this game is not 3 years down the road. It's not going to be the same as it is right now. There will be a price to pay for all this lost revenue. There has to be. There will be. You can count on that. So I think teams are going to be a little more cautious in the free agent market. A guy like Trevor Bauer, they're gonna spend on the top end guys. There's no doubt about that. Somebody's gonna give Trevor Bauer as much money as he wants. It's gonna be the Tanner Roarks and the free agents at that level that are gonna, I think, really feel the squeeze here. So my sense with the Blue Jays is they've got Austin Martin in the minors, and I'm not entirely certain they know what they have with Austin Martin yet.
Yeah.
You've got, what are the other position players down there? Jordan Groshans.
What position can he play?
What position can he play?
Third.
You've got Gabriel Moreno, a catching prospect. You've got pitchers, Alec Manoah, Simeon Woods-Richardson. But here's the thing. None of those guys played this year.
Yeah.
Because there was no minor leagues. They have basically been playing inter-squad games at the alternate site in Rochester. There has been no player development this year. So I don't think you can look at any of the top Blue Jays prospects and expect any of them up next year, because they basically lost a year. They basically did nothing for a year. So you got to factor all those things in, Kevin, if you're the Blue Jays. Look, I think you go after an elite free agent. Francisco Lindor in 2 years? Yeah, I mean, I have that talk.
Yeah.
Trevor Bauer? Absolutely,
Trevor
I talk
Story
to him.
Trevor Story is going to be a free agent.
Trevor Story? Absolutely. Yeah. There are a lot of guys I talk to. But the core of this team is going to be Hernandez, Gurriel, Bichette, Biggio, and Guerrero. That is your core. 3 years down the road when this team, 2 years down the road, if this team is ready to win, one of those five guys is going to be your best player. I don't think you are going to acquire through free agency, Kevin, when you are ready to go in an extended playoff run, a guy who's better than the players you have. One of those five guys has to be the guy.
Well, it may turn out to be two guys. The guy you've been yelling out. Pearson?
Yep.
And Vladdy.
And Vladdy. That's fair. That's fair. But I do believe that Nate Pearson is the clock for the Blue Jays, right? When Nate Pearson is ready to be a major league starter and give you five innings, then you look at things and you go, okay, now we're all in. Because if this kid is as good as you think he is, Hyunjin Ryu is going to be your number two or number three starter.
Well, how about Vladdy coming back with better conditioning and can hit you 35
Correct.
Homers? How about that?
But Nate Pearson tells me if I hit it out of the park with Nate Pearson, then I may not have to add that big free agent
He's
arm.
Your Giolito for the White Sox.
Kinda. Should be.
Well, you know, he Very made an adjustment. Least. Come back and be dominant.
Yeah.
That kind of thing.
416-870-0590, *591, 888-666-0590. There's something that really didn't get a lot of discussion last night. And it's something we need to talk about with the Blue Jays. Got nothing to do with the pitching. May have everything to do with the Rays pitching. It's got nothing to do with the Blue Jays pitching. But there's a stat out of this two-game series that you got to hear. I'll give it to you next. It's Baseball Central on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. A reminder that today, Rogers Sports and Media announced its inclusion and diversity plan, giving away a minimum of $10 million in free advertising and creative services over the next 5 years to charities and businesses that support BIPOC, LGBTQ2S+, PWD, and female-owned small businesses. This means your charity or small business could advertise for free on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. You can find out more at allinforequity.ca. And the deadline to submit is October 31st. 416-870-0590, *591, 888-666-0590, 590-590 is the text line. I didn't hear people talk about this last night. And it's something we have to talk about, Barker, because I think it's a significant stat. And I know everybody focuses on pitching, but the Blue Jays were 0-13 with runners in scoring position in this series. That is the fourth worst performance in baseball history in a single playoff series. The 66 Dodgers went 0-22 in the World Series. Folks, that was four games. This series was two games. The 99 Rangers went 0-14 in the ALDS. That was three games. The 2017 Cubs in the NLCS were 0-14 with runners in scoring position. That was a five-game series. So in two games, the Jays managed to become the team with one of the worst hitless performances with runners in scoring position. That's hard to do. 0-13 in a two-game playoff, that's hard.
Biggio, Bichette, Grichik, Vladdy, 2-28 combined with 16 strikeouts.
That'll do it.
That has a lot to do with that. Bichette had a sac fly for an RBI. That was the one run that those four guys drove in. It's, you know, you need an established run producer.
Rays pitching or Jays hitting, Kevin?
A little of both. You really got to know, because you've been there and done it before, how to drive in runs. You know, everybody poo-poos on the runners in scoring position thing. And I've said it, until you're not getting them. And then everybody throws their hands in the air and going, why aren't you getting them? Well, I prided myself on that. I did most of it in the minor leagues, but it's, you got to be aggressive one way or the other. It's aggressive on who you are or aggressive early in counts. Do you know a hitter in the Blue Jays lineup that can consistently do that?
Bo, maybe.
Not consistently. I mean, he's got lots of moving parts. When he's hot, maybe. Can't stay hot all the time. You got lots of moving parts. It's hard to get that down early and on time all the time. I was saying this Ryu thing. That's nice. And I was saying it's been nice for them. He helped them get in the playoffs. He was one of the main reasons. But that guy every day that the young guys can go lean on when it's how do you drive in a run? Nelson Cruz, can you tell me how you drive in runs at 40? That's the kind of guy they need, right? The guy that has been there and done it before that can take an 0-2 pitch and drive it to right center with two outs with a runner on second base. Who on this lineup can do that? You want to be a playoff team? Somebody's got to figure it out.
Steven Oshawa, you're on Baseball Central. What's up, my friend?
Hey, Steve.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. So I'm just going to throw out four headlines, and they all kind of tie except for the last one.
All right.
DH across all Major League Baseball, which I think would allow for what's much needed, which is geographical alignment of divisions. Mm-hmm. We don't need to go to Oakland. We don't need to play Oakland 50 times a year, whatever it is.
I can't disagree with anything you've said so far.
And which would also create the opportunity to do an unbalanced schedule, no more interleague, which there wouldn't be, obviously. Mm-hmm. And lastly, I think our hitting coach is sitting right beside you.
Well, I don't know. Guillermo, come on. Yeah. There's a microphone here. Dante, come on. Come on in here.
I appreciate that.
At least in a consulting format, at least. I mean, you're smartest guy I know about hitting.
I really appreciate it. I appreciate it, and thanks for the call. Yeah, it is. Yeah. Dante has done a really good job. So is Guillermo.
First 3 points, though. Steve, you're bang on.
Yeah,
first three points, I agree with you completely.
The hitting coach, listen, I can only give you one plan. If you can't go up there and execute it, it's not my fault. It's the fastball thing. Is that a Blue Jay way? Can you actually do that? I know when I was a player and the good hitters that I talked to can't reverse it.
Buck made the point, and it's as good a explanation as I've heard for this. And it does tie into my, this is only 62 games. Buck has said, Buck Martinez has said, he thinks the Blue Jays' focus is on covering off the curve. That gives them the foundation upon which they can build. And this gets to the previous caller's point about 62 games. I would love to know what that approach would look like in game 157. Because I really get the sense that, this calendar says it's October 1st. The internal baseball player calendar is the second week in June. And guys, young players in particular, now they can go through downs. But young players in particular can get better as the season goes on.
Yeah, I will back that up a little. With the way talk about hitting, of letting the ball travel, what do you do to have to hit a breaking ball? You have to let it travel. You have to let it. I was always taught you hit it before it breaks. But they seem to think where you're standing in the batter's box, whether it's closer to the pitcher, and you're starting to see guys, they're creeping closer to the pitcher. It's almost like they want to let the ball travel no matter what the pitch is. I would think you do that backwards because most 95% of most pitchers throw really hard. Me thinking of letting the ball travel, just it looks like it's looked like you're late a lot and you're not maximizing who you are. I don't want Vladimir Guerrero Jr. looking breaking ball. Because I would think that doesn't give him enough confidence to know that I can hit anything you throw no matter how hard it is. But you sprinkle in the with something with a wrinkle in it, I'm going to have issues with that because I'm so geared up about hitting the heater. With Sean Casey on yesterday. And he thinks exactly the way I think. Can't hit a good breaking ball unless you sit in the heater. Because you get your foot down in an athletic position. It's like a boxer. How a boxer looks. Right before he gets the punch and he starts to deliver the blow, he's in an athletic position. How many off-balance swings have we seen this lineup take? I've never been in one of the meeting rooms. I don't know what they're saying. I have no idea. But you look at them, you would think that's opposite. Look, the Rays, what do? The Yankees out of the bullpen, what do? They get ahead of you with something hard and expand with a secondary pitch. The averages against secondary pitches are in the 130s with these teams. Why are you sitting on it? Yeah, I said this again yesterday. If the league can't hit it, why do you think you can?
Fair point. By the way, Ken and Barry says at least it'll be all quiet in my deer blind this afternoon.
Oh, I have fun.
I was looking forward to having
it. Outdoors and baseball is pretty cool together.
There's a lot of questions about the starting pitching and on the text line 590-590 about the starting pitching and Hyunjin Ryu in particular. And Michael in Toronto wants to know if Ryu can be put in the same category as David Price prior to the Red Sox title win as a good regular season pitcher and a choker in the playoffs. I will say this. He's not the only pitcher to have pitched with the Dodgers and have a spotty postseason history.
Best regular season pitcher of all time, Kershaw.
I don't think you can go there yet. But Kevin made this point when Ryu was signed, and I think it's a valid point. The game, pitching in particular right now, is built around velocity. You've got to be really, 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 really good to be able to get away without having velocity in this game now. You've got to be good every day. The other thing Kevin pointed out, is American League East is a completely different animal. And I'll tell you why I wanted to get to Michael's question. Because it kind of serves as a segue into a discussion about pitching next year. The AL East is a different animal. Hyunjin Ryu had the benefit of pitching in Dodger Stadium, pitching in a big ballpark. Same thing, games in San Diego, big ballpark. I look at the Jays pitching this morning. And Ryu is back. He's on a multi-year deal. The question that was asked on Blue Jay Central yesterday, Jamie and Pat and I had this discussion, was the free agent pitchers the Jays have. Let's focus on Shoemaker, because Ross Stripling is under contract. So let's focus on Shoemaker, Taijuan Walker, and Robbie Ray. Do you try to bring any of them back? And my argument was this. I have a talk with all of them. Matt Shoemaker wants to come back. I'm okay with that.
Won't cost you much.
At a price, yeah.
Yeah, it won't cost you much.
I know this is going to drive some people nuts, and Kevin, you may not agree with me, but when I watch Robbie Ray throw 97 and 96 with sick movement, that plays in the AL East. If I could pick one of those three guys, understanding he made a lot of money this year. I don't know what next year will hold for him. But I would love to see Robbie Ray have a whole year of Pete Walker. And I would love to see Robbie Ray pitch in the AL East because I do believe that stuff plays. It may not play enough to be a race. But if I could have him following Ryu or later in the year, if Nate Pearson is up here, like they've got a lot of pitchers. And I think a decision has to be made right now about what all of them are. Like for me, Ryan Barucki comes back as a reliever next year. He's done as
a starter.
He's done as a starter.
Yeah, adrenaline, two pitches.
Yeah. I can go far with him next year, I think, as a reliever. Jordan Romano, obviously he's back as a reliever. Mm-hmm. I want to see Hatch start. I want to see Anthony Kaye start at AAA. Mm-hmm. I want to see, obviously, Nate Pearson start at AAA. Other than that, kind of do what you want to do.
So Robbie Ray's the one guy you'd have come back?
He's the guy that I'd have the serious discussion with. Absolutely. I mean, I don't know how. And the other thing I feel, if I can get him on a good deal, there's enough people out there that are going to look at that velo. And even if it doesn't work out here, I might be able to move him for something. Maybe I'm reading too much into what I saw him do after coming in for Matt Shoemaker.
How about this? He's better leaving today than he was when he got here.
Yes.
Why do you
agree.
Think that is?
Petey.
Big target.
And
that's the first thing
okay.
the conversation was, is big target. Why aim small?
And this is Pete Walker.
When you have issues throwing strikes.
Yep.
Make your target bigger. Set up right down the middle and let the 96 move all over the place. And the slider and the slow breaking ball. I'm with you. And, you know, I don't know if I want him my number two guy because he is erratic. But stuff's hard to find. True stuff. And I said this yesterday, and I'll say it again. He's the one lefty that I know that can throw a fastball in a fastball count to a right-hander who can hit a fastball. Those things.
416-870-0590, 1-888-666-0590, star 590. The text line is 590-590. We'll get back to it. Baseball Central on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Now, back to more Baseball Central on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Today, Rogers Sports and Media announced its inclusion and diversity plan, giving away a minimum of $10 million in free advertising and creative services over the next 5 years to charities and businesses that support BIPOC, LGBTQ2S+, PWD, and female-owned small businesses. This means your charity or small business could advertise for free on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. You can find out more at allinforequity.ca. The deadline to submit is October 31st. Jeremy in Meaford, you're on with Kevin Barker and Jeff Blair. What is up, Jeremy?
Hey, Jeremy.
Hey, guys. So glad to be on the show. First-time caller.
Thanks.
I just watching the game last night, and well, unfortunately, Teoscar at the end of game one. But watching third strikes go past them in an elimination game, would the goal not be to be swinging at anything close on a third strike, especially with runners in scoring position? Like, I just felt like watching guys watch the third strike go by was crazy. And I know Kevin already sort of looked at that earlier in the show, mm-hmm. and as well, like. I feel like there's not a lot of room for improving on defense for next year. And so they got to be mashing that baseball. And
have you seen
what you thought about that?
Well, I'll let Kevin answer this too, but I would urge you to take a look at the Yankees numbers against the Tampa Bay Rays this year. The Rays do that to a lot of teams.
Yeah. Yeah. They're really good at what they do.
It's hard to go from 100 to an 89 mile an hour changeup that's located. And I'm thinking of that at bat with Teoscar. He took a lot of grief on social media. First of all, if he swings at that pitch, he ain't going to hit it. It's an unhittable pitch. But he was...
Yeah, probably don't chase the 3-0 pitch that's pretty far out of the strike zone. You know, I think a lot of overswinging, that's a big thing. You know, trying not to get the two strikes, that's another thing. You have to do that when you're facing really good pitching. It's very hard. Like these guys for the Rays throw so hard, and their secondary pitches are so tunneled, coming out of the same plane. It's very hard, and they break late. Because they're so hard, you know, those are not 75-mile-an-hour breaking balls. Those are 80-plus-mile-an-hour off-speed pitches after the 95-plus fastball. So you got to give them a little break there. For me, it's often an early. You got to be aggressive early in counts, and you got to hit the fastball. And that's the one thing is that'll be the interesting thing, to see if the approaches are going to change next year, or is it one of those things where they can't do it? There's individuals on that team that can hit a heater, a good one. But most of them can. So it's the mindset of I go up, I hunt it, I look for it, I hit it hard, and then I make an adjustment to what the league's trying to do to me.
Juan in Toronto, you're on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. What is up?
Hi, fellas. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah.
I have a few questions. Number one is I'm trying to find out, get your opinion. A starting pitcher going five innings, is that three innings now, is that the new thing with the Jays or the thing of the past? Because if it is, I can't see any free agent wants to come here because they can't get wins when they can't get the big payday. So that's one question. The other one is statement.
I think we're putting too much pressure on Vladdy at first base. He just got the position. He hasn't had a minor league practice doing that. So we're kind of, I think we're putting a lot of pressure on him. I don't think that is fair. Okay? So those are my two arguments I want to make. And actually another one, last one. In your opinion, when they took out, what's his name, after three innings?
Shoemaker.
Yeah.
Shoemaker, yeah. Does that make any logical sense to you?
Yeah, well, I mean, analytically, yeah. This is a team that's... I've got to say this, and thanks, Juan. It is remarkable how many people don't understand yet that when an organization makes its decisions collaboratively with the large input from the analytics people, they do it in the postseason as well. Like, I was amazed how many people were stunned at what happened with Matt Shoemaker. Well, the Jays have been doing that all year with guys. Analytics determine a large part of how the Blue Jays, and it doesn't matter, John Gibbons, whoever.
Yeah.
It determines a large part of how the game is run.
Free agents, if you pay them the most, they're coming here.
They're coming here. Yeah.
It's real simple. Like you know, you can't compare a Trevor Bauer to a Matt Shoemaker.
Trevor Bauer was, what did he have, 5 wins this year? Trevor Bauer is going to get, the wins don't matter.
Yeah, he'll go to whoever pays him the most.
Exactly.
If that's the Blue Jays, he's coming here.
But one of your points, I don't know, because keep in mind that teams carried expanded rosters this year. Keep in mind that it was a different season. Everybody had a ton of pitchers this year. I don't know what we're going to see next year.
Yeah.
I truly don't. I tend to think that next year, Hyunjin Ryu is going to be doing whatever he wants to do. And Matt Shoemaker, if healthy, will be treated like every other starting pitcher, and you may have a guy like Tanner Roark who's going to be your fifth starter, then you may have those rules in place. But I'm not entirely certain that everything we see this year is what we're going to see next year.
And the Vladdy playing defense at first base, I agree 100%. That people haven't been fair to him playing defense. Offensively, for me, he's got to do more.
Yeah.
Like he's got to show us that he can consistently do what he does sometimes. And whatever reason that is, conditioning, okay, getting better conditioning. You came out, Vladdy came out and said, a lot of it has to do with my weight. Okay, fix it. Like stop talking about it. Go fix it. Come back next year. Be the guy. Go out and show it.
Mm-hmm. A lot of people saying, well, you know, how are the anal idiots today? The Jays aren't playing anymore. Well, folks, with all due respect,
it's
to
the Rays.
The Rays are still
the
playing,
team in the American
and they're
League.
An analytics team. The Rays are doing all. The Rays did all the stuff Charlie's done. The Yankees spend more money in analytics than any team in baseball. You take a look at the binder that Aaron Boone has beside him. This is not. People got to give your head a shake. This is not the only team using analytics. Every team in baseball uses analytics to a large degree.
The Rays are just doing it with better talent.
Bingo.
Real
better
simple.
Pitching.
Real simple.
Yeah. It's
yeah.
Like that's indisputable.
Why do you bring your closer in the seventh inning?
Yeah.
Because smart people tell you it works.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's why you do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it works for them.
When you have really good players in analytics, that's a really good combination.
You're going to win a lot
when
of games. With not spending a lot of money.
Players and analytics.
Yeah.
They ain't going to always work. And you know the nice thing about it? You can have all the analytics you want, but if I come in and throw 100, or if I do a Tyler Glasnow and Blake Snell, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Pitchers control the game, man. You know, pitchers control the game. Justin in Toronto, we'll squeeze your call in. What's up, Justin?
Hey, Justin.
Thanks for taking my call, guys.
Of course.
I think the team's heading in the right direction. And this offseason isn't our year that we're going to spend the big dollars. Next year, when Groshen and Martin come up, that's when you go after, say, like a Noah Syndergaard and get that true ace of the team. And I don't think Shoemaker's going to return. I mean, if you look at his fire and his intensity that game, he was laser locked in, and he was painting better than Picasso. And then they pull him. You got to be fired up for that one.
I just got to tell you very quickly, because there's TV did not help the situation. When Matt Shoemaker came out of the game, there was a lot of high-fiving
Yeah, I think it was more that, look at me, I did it, what we wanted to do.
Yeah.
I think it was a lot more of that than how dare you pull me.
Yeah. People are, you can't read, again, this is the, what happens when you're not in the stadium and when you don't have access to the players. I mean, people are reading, well, I know people are reading way too much into that. You know, this idea that he had this big argument with Pete Walker in the dugout. If you see the whole tape, he comes off the field, he's high-fiving everybody. That was the plan. So I'm just throwing that out there. I'm just throwing that out there. Because I don't think, and again, as Barkers, you know what? Matt Shoemaker, if you give him the money, he's coming back here.
Yeah.
He's coming back here.
Yeah, not a ton of people will be standing in line for Shoemaker.
No.
You know, he's a pretty good pitcher when he's healthy. He's not healthy a ton. Not going to make a ton of money. He'll make a little bit because everybody wants pitching and needs pitching.
And he's coming off a postseason in which he had a great 3-inning start.
There you go. There you go.
What are we looking at right now? Oh, Mike Fiers is warming up for the A's. The Atlanta Braves are beating the Reds. The Reds, this is just going to be such a tough series for the Reds to lose. 3-0 Braves right now. They're going to go on. The Indians beat the Yankees. I can't believe, Barker, you thought the Indians are going to sweep the Yankees.
Well,
what the hell is wrong with
right you? Right in there.
And what about my fish?
Yeah, yeah, of
told
course.
You about the Marlins.
Of course.
They
never lose. Yeah.
They don't. The Florida Marlins / Miami Marlins have never lost a playoff series. Mm. They're not losing this one.
So you're saying right now, today, they're winning the World Series. Say it, Jeff. Right now.
No, because I picked the Rays to win the World Series.
Right? Well, you say they never lose.
Yeah. Rays up.
Yeah. It's going to be tough to beat them. I hate to say it.
They look pretty good. Braves-Yankees are going to be great baseball.
It's going to be great. Hate each other, too.
I know they
awesome.
Do. It's spectacular. They absolutely detest the hell out of each other. We'll be on all month on Baseball Central, right through to the end of the World Series. I promise you we'll take more calls. We'll take more texts. We'll have a ton of guests. Have a lot of real good baseball talk. Can't wait. Writer's Block is next. Have a great day.